Hello, hello, and thank you for joining us for this wonderful conversation that I'm having today with Anke. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I feel like it's a very pressing issue amongst young people. And unfortunately, because a lot of us grew up in technology was always surrounding us, we don't realize that we're actually addicts of the digital space. So she has published a book called The Digital Dilemma, a very well-known book. And it's a book that gets into the struggles of being addicted to not just digital media, but just a digital space. So I wanted to begin, Anke. First of all, how are you?
Good day, Given. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited to have you on the I Am Live show tonight. And also just to introduce you to our audience, because we're going to be having a lot more conversations from you, breaking down the importance of digital media, what it does to us. And, you know, I really started becoming more and more aware. I think also since I've met you and saw your book, I've become more and more aware of just how many things exist in the digital world for us to become more and more addicted to. But anyways, I think we can begin our conversation with what is the digital dilemma, and what led you to specifically focus, and why did you title it The Digital Dilemma to begin with?
Given, your thank you. So it's quite something to get a title for the book. You know, you have this wealth of information when you write a book, and you know exactly what you want to say and how you want to conclude it. But then getting a title for a book with so many facets, like you said, the digital world is vast.
Yes.
And the problem with regards to the digital world is not just a single thing. It is social media, it's gaming, it's pornography, it's bullying, it's predators. There is so many things that can be, like, social media can initially be good with regards to the connectedness, but then obviously the bad side of it. So then we had to think of a title, and by the grace of God, one day I was actually driving and I was listening to another program, and it just dropped in my spirit this word of digital dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really where we are currently. The parents have a dilemma, the education system have a dilemma, the teenagers and the children, and the dilemma is that we are dependent on digital devices.
True.
You know,
very
and
true.
There will never, ever, ever be an era without technology.
Mm.
So technology has flooded our society, and there's a lot of good things about technology, and we're not going to talk about all the good things about technology.
Yeah.
So technology is here to stay. But now the dilemma is that even though something is so needed and almost like essential, there is this dilemma of harm and dangers on that very same thing. So how do you navigate something that is equally needed but equally dangerous?
Yes. Oh,
so
that's such a good point.
That is the dilemma, because the answer is not to because a lot of people will say to you, but take the device.
Yes.
Just take it away. So for a very, very short term, if you want to punish someone, or it is like a repercussion of not being disciplined, you can take the device or the PS or the PlayStation for a moment or for a season or for a week. But you, for a cell phone, you cannot take a cell phone of a child for a very long time, especially, for example, like a high school child.
Exactly.
They need the phone.
Yes.
They need the phone for research. They need the phone for communication. A lot of schools is giving out homework and assignments on WhatsApp. And that is a dilemma. And you know what, Given? So I have actually very, very recently, I was working with two very prominent schools in Pretoria, mm-hmm. where in the one school, the girl, underaged, she posted very, very explicit images of herself. Or she actually not posted it. She sent it to the boyfriend, and then the relationship didn't last. And the boyfriend posted those images on various platforms. And so that was quite a huge story. And obviously the police is getting involved, because when you are under the age of 18, it is... it's child pornography.
Exactly.
So you are not allowed to do that.
Exactly.
So, but at the end of the day, the mother took the girl's phone, and there was severe repercussions for her, and punishment and boundaries. She was put on very, very strict boundaries with regards to her phone and her screen time. And then at some stage, the girl said, "Listen, but I need my phone back." And the mother obviously did not want to give the phone back, and she went to that particular school and she spoke to the deputy principal. He's also the principal who is doing the discipline in the school. And she asked this principal, this deputy principal, to help her with regards to this, and that from the school side, maybe if they can help them with maybe policy, or help her with do not... have sent the homework and the assignments on the WhatsApp platforms and so forth. And the principal just said, "You know what, mum, it's not our problem."
Exactly.
It's, and now the mother, and they literally just passed the buck to the parents, saying it's the parents' responsibility.
Yes, yes.
But if the school is not taking hands, How can the parents do this? And that's another dilemma, you know, of the schools doing one thing and the parents have another responsibility. And obviously another dilemma is where now a lot of schools are publishing the handbooks on a tablet.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I hear you.
So now, and I can understand the thought process, especially if you see these backpacks weighing like 20 kilos,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
So with regards to just like, you know, the back muscles and the skeleton and everything, I can see it's a good idea to just for with not bringing all the handbooks to school, that is very compact. I can see, like I say, the method behind the madness. But now the dilemma is that our brains were not wired or coded to read on a digital platform. So we were taught to read in like a Z format. So this is the way our eyes is following, in the Z format. But if we are now on a digital platform, it's an F format. So your brain literally does not retain the amount of information. So that is another dilemma. So this is my heart given to speak to you and to have this program, is to really just unpack this digital dilemma, not only for the teenagers, but also for the parents maybe who is listening. And also what I was supposing that we do is, like today, we discuss different stories.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, that is what they will remember, is they will remember the stories.
I'm
going to share stories.
Yeah. So one of the things, as you're speaking right now, I'm thinking of, so you're talking about the dilemma between a child having to do what the parent says, and then also now having to do what the school says. And those tend to differ, right?
Yes.
Because even though you may want your child to stay away from a tablet or a phone, I mean, I find myself in that dilemma as well, where even though I would want to keep away from certain platforms, simply because they distract me quite a lot, it's very difficult, because so much of what I do is linked to those social media platforms, so much of the work that I do, which is a dilemma that I've quite honestly found for many years. And for me, even though you're using schools and parents, for me it's also the companies that make these products, right?
Yes.
Because they do, I mean, for the mere fact that there is no app that exists currently that can completely secure a child from accessing pornographic content. For me, it feels like it's very intentional, because I know that we have the technology to do it. China does it, right? No child can access, in fact, even adults cannot access pornography. You have to go out of your way to using their internet in order to access such sites. So it's always made me wonder, like, why doesn't a simple app that I can simply install, and now I'm not even talking about a child who's trying to find loopholes, because I'd want the child to use the phone normally, but just not access anything harmful. And obviously these things will change over time. You can't just download an app and then it'll solve all the problems, but you'll constantly discover new and new websites. But I think that also introduces another part of it, because these companies don't even have headquarters here.
Yeah. And you know, given it is a war, and this is really what we must understand. And the war is for the souls of our children. And we cannot say anymore, we did not know. So this whole saying of ignorance is bliss, we are beyond that. And just to go back on that technology that exists to block, for example, harmful content or pornographic content.
Yeah.
You know, given that the technology exists, to put in a phone from the beginning, so when you take a brand new phone out of the box, the technology to block harmful content from the moment that you open that cell phone does exist, so that child will never, ever, ever, ever come in contact with harmful content ever. And not only then porn, but also like scary stuff and huggy wuggy and all these things that is really, really scary to children, that does exist.
Oh.
And certain American states, Iowa for one, is the first state in America that made it law that if you buy a cell phone, that all the cell phone companies must have those software in place from the beginning.
That's incredible.
If you then, as a parent or as an adult, if you then want to access this content for whatever reason, it is as simple as put in a password. But you can protect the children. There is answers and solutions for that. But obviously your porn companies and your social media companies and your gaming companies do not want us to know that software exists, or they do not want the legal side of it to be forced down, because it will protect children, but it also rob them from a huge amount of income. And that is the problem. Unfortunately, the price of our children's soul, and then for you or me or anyone, is as little as a couple of rands to access a porn site.
Wow, that is incredible. Now, we've spoken before in the past and about the fact that there are places and there are countries. I mean, I'm very shocked at the fact that this is something that can actually become law, putting these type of blockers on devices. And we've spoken before in the past about how places like China and other countries actually have centers where people can go and have. I remember someone saying to me, I can't remember which game was it. I don't know if it was Candy Crush or Angry Birds, where they literally, people were getting so addicted to the game. I can't remember what country it was, that they literally had to have a center just to help people who were addicted to the game. And I remember I myself was living in a place where the mom raising her child would sit on the couch for like hours, just sitting playing that game. Like, she'd sit maybe for like 30 minutes and then go do something, come back, sit for 20 minutes, go do something, but she's constantly playing the game. And obviously the child is growing up seeing that.
Yeah.
So I think it just brings me to the topic, which I know in South Africa, it's not even something that most of us consider as a possibility, but the idea of having centers that can help. Now that you've even introduced the concept of schools, I mean, imagine if these centers were accessible at schools. Like, what kind of a world would that be? But how important is it to have centers that help with digital addiction?
You know, given this is probably my number one reason for keep on pushing and keep on pushing and keep on pushing, is to open a center like that. For example, a country like South Korea have 350 rehab centers just for digital addiction.
Imagine.
So, and in our country, we are the number one internet addicted country in the world. Of all the countries in the world, we use the most data. So we really have a massive problem, and we do not have one rehab center. So there is rehab centers like your normal rehab centers or your psychiatric institutions that say that they can treat like a pornography addiction or a gaming addiction under the umbrella term of a process addiction. It's like getting addicted to like gambling, for example. It falls under the same umbrella.
Okay.
But it's different though with gaming and pornography and social media. The symptoms is different. And because the symptoms is different, the treatment should also be different. We cannot have like one cookie cutter mold to treat this process addiction, but it's not the same.
Yeah,
so this is really my heart given. Just a story again, you know, I had a principal phoned me during the week from a school in the Western Cape. A boy, he is in matric, or he should be in matric. He's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been to school basically for the last 6 weeks. And for the last 6 weeks, he has locked himself in a dark room and he's playing a game called Call of Duty.
Oh, no.
And he has switched over day and night, and he is, at some stage, his parents did try to take the gaming console and to take the Wi-Fi out and to steal the cables or to hide the screens, just to have such an emotional and response. Violent breakdown of that boy that the parents is now so scared of taking anything from that boy. And he just refused to go back to school. And that principal phoning me and say, "Anke, but what do we do?" And the obvious answer is that child needs a rehab center. That child needs to be taken away out of his home, away from the screen, get the treatment that is needed, and then phase him back into society. And the thing that I had to say to the principal is we have no such place.
Imagine.
So it's real. It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And that's why what we can do for now, because we do not have legislation that backs us. We do not have, safe devices that helps us. So the only thing that we can do now, given, is we can bring awareness.
I hear you.
That's what we can do. So hopefully we can prevent, because prevention definitely with regards to exposure to pornography, for example, prevention is better than cure.
Absolutely.
So just to bring awareness to parents and to schools and to children, because if they will understand the dangers of this, then hopefully they will also be the ones who will be careful with regards to their devices.
Yeah, that's a very good point.